Okay, good evening. So what we're going to do in the last week is we're going to utilize the fact that game theory is cute, and the fact that it's cute means that there's very nice research problems that are studied right now or very recently, and you can understand, and you know, you can even solve, or you can even solve homework problems that are related to. So what we're going to do this week, I'm going to actually teach you from presentations of research that was done in the last 5 to 10 years. You know, that's pretty recent, and you'll be able to see what people, some of the easier aspects of game theory that are studied in the recent years, right? So it will also give you a flavor of you know, you are at the level where you can understand research in game theory that's done in the last, you know, in recent years, and I'm going to give you a couple of examples today and maybe one more example on Wednesday. So the first example is going, and you should interrupt me as freely as you want. The first example is something that I talked with a student I had in Israel 4 or 5 years back, and he asked me exactly the same question that Vivek asked me last time, which was, you know, when we talk about these k-cutting algorithms, we are always assuming that people are telling the truth about what they want. When we talk about auctions, we weren't assuming that people always tell the truth about what they want. Is there a way to combine these two perspectives? Is there a way to study the question of k-cutting if you don't assume that people necessarily tell you the truth about how much they like each piece of the cake? So that's what we're going to talk about today, right? So in 10 years, you have 4 kids, obviously, but your kids are going to be smart like you, and when you're going to ask them how you're going to partition the cake, they're going to tell you, well, which algorithm you're going to use. Then you're going to tell them which algorithm you're going to use, and then, of course, they're going to try to tweak the algorithm and to tell you not what they really like, but what would give them the most cake, given the algorithm that you're going to use. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about now. So I didn't do anything, you know, this presentation is taken from a talk that Omer gave in a conference 5 years ago, I guess, in October 2010, or 3 years ago, or whenever, okay? So I didn't change anything, so you can see how talks like that look like. All right, so that was the motivation, right? So this is an example of how a good research question comes. It's a very cute research question. I was teaching game theory, I was talking about cakes, I was talking about auctions, we realized that nobody talked about how do you partition a cake if people are strategic, and that's what we're going to ask about today. So how do you divide common resource fairly? No money is involved, and the players are strategic. So with 2 players, in principle, there's this procedure where one cuts and the second one chooses, and there's no strategizing if they both like the cake in the same way. But what we saw last time is that if different people like different things, then maybe the what's going to happen is that if you lie, you have a preference. So here's the situation that's drawn in this picture. So you have a cake, and you have a cherry, and one person wants the cherry, and the other person wants the cake. And what's going to happen is that we are going to apply the same algorithm that we applied before, which is one person cuts and the other one chooses, and the assumption is going to be the following. Player one is interested in cake, and he cares very little about the cherry. And player two really has some obsession with cherries. And he has such a strong obsession, the doctors told him to go and keep away from cherries, but now he has a unique opportunity. So player two is maybe million times the amount of cherry that they get, plus the amount of cake. So they do like the cake, but they're mostly interested in the cherry. Okay, so let's think what will happen if they apply the algorithm that we talked about last time. So what was the algorithm that we talked about last time? In the algorithm that we talked about last time, suppose player two cuts, how would player two cut the cake in a situation like that when he likes mostly the cherry but also the rest of the cake? If he wants to partition half-half, so maybe we'll cut like this.
Right? Because it's giving him half of the cherry and half of the cake, and the other player is going to get half of the cherry and half of the cake. Right? This is not so good for him because he really likes the cherry, and he lost half of the cherry this way, right? So it doesn't make him very happy. Is there a better way for him to cut? Well, he can say that instead of liking the cherry 10 to the 6 and the cake just 1, maybe he likes the cherry 5, or maybe he doesn't like the cherry at all, and he just likes the cake, and he's going to cut it, or he just likes the cherry a little bit, so he's going to cut it. Maybe there's going to be 49% of the cake here, and 51% of the cake here, and the cherry is just a bonus. He doesn't really like the cherry, but it happened to be that the cherry happened to fall this way. So if the player is going to cheat this way, not only they're going to get the cherry, all of the cherry to themselves, they're also going to get almost half of the cake. Because the second player, if they need to choose player number one, if they need to choose between this slice and this slice, they're going to choose this slice that has more cake. And our player that likes the cherry a lot will also get almost half of the cake if they're going to do this way. Does this make sense? No? Yes? Yes? Okay. So that's the situation that we're going to talk about, and we'll see what can be done about it. So that's the example that we've just seen. And okay, so here is the algorithm that we've seen last time. So this is the extension of that we've seen last time. So let's just see that it's exactly what we've seen. So here, what we're going to do is this is called the moving knife procedure. So the cake is very long. There are going to be k players. So again, we have the front row. The front row is 10 players. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start moving the knife, and I'm going to ask the first player who thinks that what they get so far is at least 1/10 of the cake, according to their valuation, to shout. Okay, so I'm starting here, nobody's saying anything, nobody's saying anything, nobody's saying anything, nobody's saying anything. At some point, somebody, maybe first one is going to say something, is going to say, oh, I think this is 1/10 of the cake. So since he was the first person to say that this is 1/10 of the cake, everybody else thinks that this is less than 1/10 of the cake, so we're going to give this part of the cake to Thurston, and everybody else is going to continue. Right? Now we're going to continue. Ask, from this point on, who thinks that this is at least 1/9 of the cake? So we go up, 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 up. Somebody's going to shout, say this is 1/9 of the cake. We're going to give it to that person and continue. So this is the different description of the algorithm that we've seen last time for cake cutting. And again, the question is, can you do it in a truthful way? Okay, so here comes the model. So this is very similar to what we've seen last time, except that it has fancier words. So don't worry so much about the fancy words. So the cake is going to be just the interval 0, 1, like we had in all of our examples before. Pieces of the cakes are sets, like we've seen before. So there's a technical term that's called sigma algebra. Don't worry about what it is. K players each have a preference over the cake. And the preference over the cakes are going to be given by this function mu, which is a probability measure, right? So what is a probability measure? So last time we wrote each function had a density. So player number 1 had f1, f2, up to fk. Now we're using a different notation. So the measure of an interval, mu1 of an interval, the interval ab, is the integral from a to b, f1x dx. So u1 of a set is just a way to write the integral over the set of the density of that player. So this is similar to the notation that we had last time. And we are going to talk about what's called non-atomic measure, which means that you can partition anything. And the basic principle is that, you know, if this is the partition of the cake to the k player, there's part c1 go to player 1, part c2 go to player 2, and so on and so forth, then what's the happiness level of player I, or what's the utility of player I? This is just the measure according to his preference of the piece that player got. So mu I ci is the integral over ci of fix dx is the utility of player I when receiving the PCI.
Okay, so that's the model. And what are we looking for? We're looking for a mechanism. So what is a mechanism? A mechanism is something that says, well, player number one, my preference of the measure of the cake is this measure gamma one. This tells me exactly how much you like each piece of the cake. Player number two, gamma two, this tells you how much you like each piece of the cakes. Giorgio, this tells me how much you like each of piece of the cake, and so on and so forth. So for each of you, I know how much you like each of piece of the cake. You give me this information, and then I tell you, you get PC1, you get PC2, you get PC3, and so on and so forth. So that's a mechanism. Each of you is going to tell me something, not necessarily what your true preference is, and I'm going to cut the cake between you. So the setup is clear? So it's like in the auctions. In the auctions, you told me how much are you willing to pay for something, and I decided who to give it to. Now each of you is going to give me much more information. You are going to tell me how much you like each possible piece of the cake. So you're going to give me this information. I'm going to process this information and split the cake between you. Okay, so here comes the definition of what does it mean to be truthful. So let me write this down more clearly. So in this setup, gamma I is how much player I really likes pieces of the cake. And mu I is how much they say they like. Say again? This sounds right. Mu I is how much they really like, and gamma I is what they say they like. Okay, so it could be that what they say is equal to how much they really like it, but not necessarily. So what happened in truthful mechanism? So truthful mechanism means that if I look at the piece that I get when I said gamma I and all the other players said no matter what they said, so this is how much I like what I got when I said gamma I, and all the other players said whatever they said, and I compare it to how much I like the piece I got when I actually said the truth, and all the other players said whatever they said, but like before, then I'm happier with the piece that I got when I say the truth than with the piece that I got when I said something that's not necessarily the truth. So what's written on the left-hand side is how happy I am, that's mu I, with ci. Ci is the piece that I got. If the players, player number one said gamma one, player number two said gamma two, and so on and so forth, compared to how happy am I when everybody said whatever they said before, but I actually said the truth, the true value for each piece of the cake for me. So this is truthful. Is the definition clear? Yes? Okay. And then there's another concept which is truthful in expectation. Which is exactly the same, except I may do something random. So what should be the case is that the expected value of what's written here should be less or equal than the expected value of what's written here. So maybe the expected value is I partition the cake into two parts and randomly I decide which part to give to which player. We're good? Okay. So now, let's, this is what we call proportional mechanism. A proportional mechanism is a mechanism where everybody gets at least 1 over k of the cake according to their evaluation. So unlike the previous lecture, now ui of whole of the cake is always 1. So we are going to assume that u1 of all of the cake and up to uk of all of the cake, this is all 1. So each player wants to get at least 1 over k of the cake. So this we call fair or proportional. And super fair we call if each player gets a little bit more than 1 over k of the cake. Any questions about the setting?
So for the super fair mechanism, how would each player get more than 1 over k?
Right. So you can only have super fair mechanism when there's a two people who have different preferences. If everybody have the same preference, no, it couldn't be the case that everybody gets more than 1 over k. Right? If we all like the cake exactly the same, then it cannot happen. But in the situation, as we'll see later, in the situation where at least 2 of the players have different preferences, you can ensure that everybody gets at strictly more than 1 over k of the cake. Good? Other questions? So the main issue that we want to deal with is we want to deal with truthfulness. We want to be sure that it's better for your kids to tell the truth. Right? They are not just interested in the cake, you also want to make sure that they grow up to tell you the truth. Okay, so here is a very easy mechanism that uses randomness. I'm not sure your kids are going to like it. So you have 4 kids, or you have 6 kids. Let's make it easier. You have 6 kids. So it's always easier if you have 6 kids to do all kind of things like that. Then you roll a die. You say, oh, kid number 5, you got all of the cake. Okay, so that's the mechanism. So you have 6 kids, all of them want the cake. You say, very good. I'm going to do it in a fair way. Nobody of you are going to complain that it's not fair. You know, I'm not going to be biased against any of you. And I actually, you can lie as much as you want. I'm not even going to listen to what you say to me, right? You can tell me that you like the chocolate. You can tell me that you like the dough. You can tell me like you like the cherry. I don't care. That was very interesting. Now I'm going to roll my die, and kid number 3 got the cake. So kid number 3 is going to get all of the cake. So this is a very silly mechanism, but it does have 2 nice properties. One is that it's truthful. You have no incentive to lie, because I'm ignoring what you're saying, right? So if I'm ignoring what you're saying, there's no incentive to lie. And the other thing is that the expected payoff for all of the players is 1 over k. So on average, you'll get 1 over k. So all of you look very unhappy with this solution, as we were. And you know, this is also what we have this rule, right? If you actually have 6 kids, and each time you're going to give the cake to one at random, they're all going to hate you very soon. Okay, so it's not something that you actually want to do, but it just helps to explain what the definitions are that we're talking about. So we're good? We understand why this is truthful and why the expected payoff is 1 over k? Okay. So here is a theorem that it had essentially 2 proofs, one of them by Neyman, who was the founder of the statistics department at Berkeley, so who proved it in 1946. And he proved the following statement, which is what we called in the previous lecture, this is called exact partitions. So he proved that there exist exact partitions. In other words, for any k preferences of the case players, there exists the partition of the cakes such that the value of each piece according to each player is exactly 1 over k of the cake. So there is a way for me to partition, right? So in general, when I partition a cake, let's say I partition it into 3 parts, then each part has 3 different values. There's the value according to player 1, there's the value according to the second player, and there's the value according to the third player. These values are not necessarily equal. Right? But this partition satisfies this property that for all parts of the cake, this is going to be 1/3,
The second part is going to be one third. And the third part is going to be one third. So according to the three players, each piece is equal to exactly one third. And Lester Dubins, who was also a professor here until about 10 years ago, his story for this partition was the following. He said that this partition, he called it the Nile partition. Why did he call it the Nile partition? Because they said in the story in the paper, they say that in ancient Egypt, you wanted to partition the land between K people. Unfortunately, each year, the level of the water of the Nile was different. So you wanted to partition it in a way that no matter what the level of the water of the Nile was, the partition was fair. So it was, if the water was very high, everybody felt that they got one over K of the land. If the water was very low, everybody felt that everybody get one over K of the land. If the water is intermediate, everybody felt that they got one over K of the land. So a partition like that where no matter what the level of the water is, no matter which part is flooded and which part is very fertile, everybody feels that they get exactly one over K. That's exactly the partition that this theorem tells you that you can find. Should I explain the Nile story again? Let me explain the Nile story. So here is Egypt. I'm trying to draw a map of Egypt. So the map of Egypt actually doesn't matter. The only thing that matters about the Egypt is the Nile. And this is actually true, because everybody in Egypt lives very close to the Nile. In fact, everybody in Egypt lives very close where the Nile goes into the Mediterranean. So this is the Nile Delta. And now let's magnify this area. So we have this complex piece of water and land and other pieces of water and other pieces of land. And you know, this maybe this water here tends to flood more often, and this piece of water here tends to flood less often. And what do you want to do? So this is our omega. And you want to partition omega into k parts, C1 up to CK, such that for every water level X, you have that the quality of the piece of land when you have X level water of C1 is equal to the quality of the piece of land 2 equal up to the quality of piece of land K, which is exactly the quality of all the land in that year where you have X water level divided by K. So that's what you want to achieve. You want to achieve that no matter what's the flooding level, everybody will say we got exactly 1 over K of the global. And what this theorem says, it says that you can do it. And this is a very popular theorem. People like it because it says that you can do nice things. And of course, I won't show you the proof, but there are many proofs. Okay, so there are many proofs of this theorem. So can you see how can one use this theorem in order to find a fair partition between your children, which is also truthful? So you want to use the theorem in order to partition the cake between your K children in the way that none of them will have any incentive to lie about how much they like each piece of the cake. Yes, Steven?
Question. I don't understand why that has to be true. I think you wrote on the board. Is equal to the utility of all the land divided by K. What if your utility function is not linear?
Right, so utility function has to be of the form integral over the area of some density. So it's not a general economic theory utility. It's all utility of this form. Which means maybe what you count, everything that's below
the water, you count as negative, you count as zero. Everything that we see in zero meter of the sea level and 1 meter of the flood level is counted is very good. It's counted as 5. Everything that's between 1 and 2 is counted as 7. So it has to be the case that the total value of a piece of land is the integral over that piece of land of how much little pieces of land are equal to you. Okay? So that's the setup that we have. In all the setup that we have about the cake, you can think about the cake as being 0, 1, and the utilities are always, there's some density, and you integrate this density along the piece that you got. Other questions? Okay, so back to my question. How can you use this result in order to make sure that your kids won't want to lie when you ask them for how much they like different pieces of cake? So we saw one partition before that did it, which is just to give everybody all the cake to one person at random. But we weren't happy with that, right? We want something a little better. And I'm asking you, how can you use this theorem, which says that if everybody were telling you the truth, there is a way to partition the cake in a way that everybody gets exactly 1/6 of the total cake according to the evaluation of each of the 6 kids you have. So how can you use this? Any suggestions? This, how many kids do we have? So say more. Into 6 parts?
Yeah, and then let the other 5 kids choose, or tell them that you're letting the other 5 kids choose first.
Right, but the problem is that, so this is a good suggestion. Can anybody see what the problem with this suggestion is? Right, so it could be that, you know, I'm asking you to partition into 6 parts, and you're a very honest kid, right? You were a kid up to 10 or 20 years ago. So you are a very honest kid, and you actually partition it. I don't know how to do 6 parts. Maybe something like that. And you actually made sure that according to your evaluation, each of these pieces is exactly 1/6. But now let's look at your big brother's evaluation. Maybe in your big brother evaluation, this is all of the cake, and everything else is 0. Okay? And according to one of your sisters, this is all of the cake, and everything else is 0. And actually, it could be that, you know, 3 of your brothers think that this is all of the cake and everything else doesn't matter. And the two of your sisters think that this is all of the cake and everything else doesn't matter. So then if you let them partition this between them, you know, the first one will just take this piece, the second one will just take that piece, and then there are going to be 4 who are going to be left with nothing. Right? So it's not in, it's nice, even if you gave the true partition according to your evaluation, it doesn't guarantee that they are going to do well later. Any other suggestions? So here's what we're going to do. So what we're going to do is we're going to use the theorems that we've seen before. So the theorem that we've seen before says you can do the following. You are going to partition the cake into 6 parts. Each of the 6 parts is going to have value exactly 1/6 according to each of the players, as long as they're not lying. But they could be lying. What do you do in order to avoid the possibility that they're lying? Now that you have the 6 pieces, you're going to give each one piece at random. So they're going to be 6 kids. You're going to say, well, let me roll the die. You're going to get this piece. And then you're going to go for the next kid. You're going to get this piece, and so on and so forth. So each one of them is going to get a random slice of one of the 6 possible slices that you cut. So what can we say about it? So one thing that we can say is if you told the truth, then you guarantee to get exactly 1/k of the cake. Do you see this?
One person sees that. Good. So what is the property of this partition? This partition, let me try to graphically say what this partition means. So we have exactly, oh. So this partition has the property. So I'm just going to concentrate on one piece, but each of the pieces are the same. The measure of this piece, according to the player who provided gamma 1, is gamma 1 of omega over 6. It's also the measure of this piece according to gamma 2 is gamma 2 omega over 6, and so on and so forth, up to gamma 6 omega over 6. So if a player provided the measure gamma 1, the measure of the how much they like this piece, if they were telling the truth, is exactly 1/6. So if they were telling the truth, if player number 1 was telling the truth, then this piece is worth 1/6 to them, 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 and this piece is worth 1/6 to them. If I give them one piece at random, they're going to get exactly 1/6. If they lied, what happens if they lied? Maybe this is worth 1/2 to them, and this is worth 0 to them, and so on and so forth. What happens if they lie? They may get 0, they may get 1/2, they may get anything. What we know in expected value, they're going to get 1/6, right? Because in expected value, they're going to get, the total that they get in expected value is 1/6 of the total value of the cake, which is 1/6. So no matter if you lie or not, you're going to get in expectation 1/6 of the cake. But if you say the truth, you actually can guarantee that for sure you're going to get 1/6 of the cake. So your advantage by telling the truth is not necessarily by getting more, it's guaranteeing that you get exactly 1/6. If you don't tell the truth, it's random. You can get more, you can get less, it's only in expectation you get 1/6 of the cake. Okay, good. So here's the theorem I told you about that was proven here in Berkeley in the 60s. So Dubins was a professor in the stat department and Spania was a professor in the math department. And they said that if two people have different preference measures, then there exists, this you should remove, then there exists a partition of the cake such that every player gets more than 1/k of the cake. Okay, so if there are two players who have different preferences, you can give everybody a little more than 1/k. And maybe I'll finish this part of the class before I go to the next part with the following mechanism. What do you do if you want to get a little bit more than 1/6? So you want to be nice to your kids. You want to give each of them a little bit more than 1/6. So here's what you do. First of all, you say, okay, here's the cake. Let me just draw a random partition into 6 parts. Okay, so a random partition, then say, okay, it's random. And I'm also going to go to draw random numbers here. So I'm completely ignoring them. I'm telling them, this is my random partition. Then I'm telling kid number 1, are you happy with this piece? Kid number 2, are you happy with this piece? Kid number 3, are you happy with this piece? And so on and so forth. If everybody is happy, that's what they're going to get. If they're not happy, I'm going to do exactly the same protocol that I did before. So let's think about it. I'm going to do a two-state thing. I'm going to mark pieces on the cake. I'm not going to cut them. I'm going to tell them, do you like this partition of the cake? If you don't like this partition of the cake, we're going to do this previous protocol where everybody gets exactly 1/6. So when are they going to be happy? They're going to be happy exactly if each of them gets a little more than 1/6. Then they're all going to be happy. And they said, yes, 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 please give us the cake. You give them the cake. If they are not going to be happy, you're going to say, okay, you're not happy, no problem, I'm just going to do the other partition that we had into 6 parts, and then each of you is going to get exactly 1/6 of the cake, and then they're going to get the 1/6 of the cake. So they have no incentive to lie, because when I partitioned, I didn't ask them any questions. I said, ah, that's very interesting. I'm really interested to know that you like cherries, but I'm not going to do anything with that. Each kid I'm just completely ignoring. I'm partitioning it at random, and I say, do you like it or not? Take it or leave it, take it, leave it, and partitioning again, and then each of them is going to get exactly 1/6. Okay, so this is truthful, and it gives you a little bit more than 1/6.
Let me skip this. Maybe the last point that I will make is that this kind of partition used randomness. And you can ask, do you always need randomness, or can you get something like that without randomness? So let's look at the following example. So we are going to partition the cake into exactly two parts. And let's first of all look at the situation. So we are going to look now at the partition that doesn't have any randomness. You give me the measures, how much you like each piece of the cake, I'll tell you how to partition. So let's say that my two kids gave me the same preferences. Each of them told me, the first one gave me gamma, the second one gave me gamma, and then in this case I give them C1 and C2. Now in this case, because since both of them exactly like the cake in the same way, clearly each of them is going to get exactly one half of the cake. Right? There's no way that anybody can have any leverage, anybody can have any arbitrage against any of the other kids. So this setup is clear. So far it's clear. Now let's imagine a different situation, where in the different situation, actually my kid number ones really like G1 a lot. So if you really like C1 a lot, so if you give kid number one the first piece, they will be very happy for them if it's all of the cake. So I claim that if what I'm doing is truthful, it must be the case that if kid number one tells me mu1 and the other kid is telling me gamma, then it must be the case that I'm still going to give kid one C1 and kid two C2. Why is that true? Second? Right. Yeah, so player one is very happy, they get one, and player two are not so happy, they get one half in this situation. Right? So this is a bad situation, right? It's a situation you have two kids, one of them gets everything, and one of them gets what they believe is half of the cake. So the kid who got everything, they're going to be very happy. They said, oh, I got everything that I wanted. And he's going to tell his older or younger brother, oh, listen, you got only half of what you wanted. Oh, you know. And then they're going to fight, right? This is usually what happens. Right? So that's a bad situation. That's what we want to avoid. But I'm saying there's no way to avoid it if your mechanism is truthful. If people have no incentive to lie, why? Suppose it wasn't the case that if this kid told the two and this kid told the two, the partition would be C1, C2. Then kid number one would say, oh, actually, that's not how much I like the cake. How much I like the cake is exactly like the second kid. So I like the cake gamma, exactly like the second kid who likes it gamma. And then he would ensure that he would get C1 and the other kid would get C2. So he will get the total possible, the maximum possible value he can get. Okay, so let's repeat the logic here. So what we assume is that, should I draw it? Maybe I should draw it in a graph. What we assume is if player number one is this preference, so this is going to be gamma one, and player number two is this preference, then you're going to partition the cake, say, in this way. This is C1 and this is C2. Okay? Now suppose that we are also looking at mu1, where mu1 is over here. So mu1 just says, I really like this piece of the cake, the left piece of the cake, and I don't like the right piece of the cake at all. Okay? So since my child know that, you know, if both of them are saying gamma, gamma, then the first kid is going to get C1, the second kid is going to get C2, is going to say, wait, even, so here's kid one, even if I prefer mu1, I will state gamma. And then he will state gamma, so instead of saying mu gamma, they won't say mu gamma, they're going to say gamma gamma, and then he's going to get C1, C2, and then he's going to get all the cake that he wants. So in order for this partition to be truthful, it must be the case that your first child would not have an incentive to lie, which means that if they actually tell the truth, they also get C1. Okay? So this means that in this situation, you cannot guarantee that each of them gets strictly more than one half of the cake. that okay? Okay, good. So now we're going to move to the second part, in which I'm going to talk about something even less abstract. Okay, so actually this is something that when I taught game theory before, the students succeeded to do it on their own. Okay, so this is something that I wrote a paper about, but the students did it on their own, so we have enough time for you to try to do it on your own. So I'll try to explain the setup to you. So what items do students like these days? If you had everything in the world, what would the first few things that you'd buy? Give me examples. Items? Gadgets? What gadgets do you like? Anybody? You don't want anything? You're all very spiritual? What? A private jet, very good, okay. So some of us have very high standards. Okay, private jet. So let's call this maybe capital P. Another object? Cake, okay. Some of us, yeah, cake. I wouldn't mind the cake after all of this discussion. The cake. What else? Give me 4 or 5 items. Yes, say it. Don't be shy.
Spells.
What?
Spells.
Husband
and wife.
Oh, spouse. Okay. Okay, that's why many of you go to college. The truth is coming out. Okay, next. Right, so spouse is a little, actually it's not very, I mean, because you want some, I have no objection to the desire to finding a spouse. However, it's not very appropriate because we want something that it's an item that can be exchanged around, right? So, you know, maybe, okay. In Berkeley, many things happen. Anyway, we are not going to talk about that. Some other item?
Walmart. Equity in Walmart.
Equity, some stock, yeah? Okay, something else? Second? Some vacation, okay, vacation. Hawaii, maybe, yeah, vacation. V, what else? One last item?
Island.
An island. Okay, that's good. Very good. Okay, so now what we're going to do is I'm going to ask 3 of you how much you like each of these items. And I don't want the numbers to be too extreme, even though I can imagine that a private jet is worth much more than a cake to you. But let's restrict the two numbers between 1 and 10. Okay? So I'm going to ask each of you how much do you like each of these items. Maybe we'll just do it for 2 players. Do we have 2 volunteers that can give me numbers? You want to give me numbers? What's your name?
May,
okay.
10.
Yeah, you started with the jet, so you like it?
1.
Okay, you can also do 0 if you really, you know. Yeah?
9,
okay.
9,
okay. 8. Okay, so we learned a lot about you. Thank you. Anybody else is willing to reveal themselves to the public? As they want, or be pushed by your friend, yes?
9.
I forgot your name. 9.
3.
7.
5.
10. Okay, so now I happen to have with me today 1 private jet, 1 cake, $100,000 worth of stock, 1 vacation, 1 month's vacation in Hawaii in a fancy hotel, and 1 island. I have no problems in giving this to you two guys. The only consideration I have is that I don't want each of you to envy the other one too much. And I'm sorry, the rest of the class chose not to participate, so you're not going to get anything. Okay? So my only goal now is to partition these items between Mai and Shujin in a way that they are not going to envy each other. So the question is, can I do it? So the question is, can we partition? And it's a general question. Can we partition in a way that there is no envy? So what does it mean that there is no envy? Recall from last time, no envy means when Shujin looks at what he gets and Shujin looks at what Mei got, he said, well, I got the better deal. And when Mei looks at the deal and she says, you know, did I get the better deal or did Shujin get the better deal? Mei says, well, I actually got the better deal. Okay? So the question is there a way for me to divide these five items between the two of them in a way that neither of them is going to envy the other one? So I'm asking you, even though you're not going to get anything, you're going to learn something, right? So can we divide it in a way that they're not going to envy each other? And the important assumption here is that things are not divisible. So actually the cake is divisible, right? The cake we can partition, but we are not allowed to partition anything. Either you get the whole cake or you get nothing. Private jet, it actually makes sense, right? Either you get the private jet or not, similarly for the island. And the stock also, I'm not going to partition. So I either give you everything or I give you nothing. So is there a way to partition the things between them in the way that they're not going to envy one another? Yes? Yeah, that's what we're trying to do, right? So we're trying to partition in a way. So let's. Anybody, can anybody suggest a partition? Yes? So Mei is going to get the private jet and the vacation. Okay, and Shujin is going to get all of the rest. Sorry. So let's see. So Mei, when she looks at what she has, she says, how much do I have? In 19. And when you look at what you don't have, what do you say? How much do I have? 18, so you're happy, right? You got a better deal. Shujin, when he looks at what he has, what does he say? What do I have? 20. What did you give up on? 12. So you're very happy too. Right? So we made both of you very happy. Very good, thank you. Can this always be done? Can you give me so this example worked out perfectly. We could keep Mei and Shujin very happy. They're not going to fight, you know, but can this always be done? If I have a bunch of items, can I partition them between maybe two, maybe three, maybe four players in a way that nobody is going to envy anybody else? It can be done? It cannot be done? Okay. It cannot be done? I'm just trying to pick randomly somebody who says it cannot be done. Can you tell me why it cannot? I don't know your name. Yeah. Yeah.
The two
has
equal preference over all the items,
right. Very good. So here's an example. It cannot always be done. Here's an example. There's one item. And the value of this item, value to both player, is say one. So if there's one value, the value to both players is one. One of them is going to envy the other because I'm going to give it to one person and not the other. So giving everybody something in a way that nobody envies anybody else may be too strong of a requirement. This is the example that we had on the slides. But maybe a better goal. So here is the mathematical notation. So you have
you have some persons and you have some invisible goods. And how much person number I is happy depends on the total number of elements that person I got. So this is the sum over the elements in CI. And what we want to do is maybe we don't want to get to make sure that there is no envy. We want just to minimize the envy. Okay. So in this case, if I have two players and both of them have value 1, suppose Mei and Sujin again, just one item, I only have one jet plane I parked outside. I have to give it to one of you, so I give it to Mei, and I say, well, sorry, Sujin, you know, I only owed one airplane, you know, I had to give it to one of you, I had to choose randomly, I gave it to Mei, and, you know, I'm sorry you envy her, but somebody is going to envy somebody in this situation. Okay? So that's what we're trying to do. We're not going to try to get the envy to be zero, we're trying to get the envy to be as small as possible. Okay? So what we can do in this work, and this is what I'm going to ask you to prove for me. So here is the statement. So the claim, we can always partition goods in such a way that the maximum envy is less or equal than alpha. Well, what is alpha? Alpha is the maximum value of one item. So no matter how many people I have, no matter how many items I have, I can partition these items between the players such that the maximum amount that one player envies the other is at most alpha. So what is the envy? So maybe you should give the formula for the envy. So what is envy? So the amount that the player I envies player J is equal to what? Can anybody tell me what's the definition of how much player I envies player J? Maybe actually have it on the slides. So can anybody tell me how much player I envies player J? In formulas? So player I is going to look at what he got. So he got CI. And he's going to look at what player J got, which is going to be CJ. So he's going to sum over all items in CI and look at the value of this item according to him and subtract from it the value of the items that player CJ got. So this is envy of player I in player J. So what are these things? VIT is value of T to player I. And CI is the set of items player I received.
Did you say the second one is CI?
Yes, thanks. Second one is CI. So when there's a partition and I ask myself, how much do I envy Thurston? I say, well, let's see how much Thurston have and let's see how much I have. And if Thurston has more than me, then I envy him. By how much do I envy him? I envy him by the amount of stuff that he has more than I have, according to my valuations. Okay, so let's look at this example that we have here.
how much is May? How much is May envying Sujin in this situation, in the partition that we have on the board? So May is looking at what Sujin got, and she's calculating it according to her valuation. So according to her valuation, what Sujin got is 1 plus 9 plus 8, which she said is 18, and minus what she got, which is 19. So it's minus 1, so she envies him minus 1, which means she doesn't actually envy him, right? Because she has something that is worth 1 more. And similarly, the envy of Sujin to Mei is going to be, well, Sujin is saying, how much is what Sujin got worth to me? So it's worth 9 plus 3, so it's 12, minus what I got, which is 20. So I envy her minus 8, meaning I don't envy her at all. So this is a good partition because the envy is negative. Nobody envies anybody. Should we do another example of envy? Another example? Yes, so let's do another example. Let's do the same preferences but a different partition. So suppose May gets P, C, and S. She gets the plane, the cake, and the stock. And Sujin gets the vacation and the island, which I actually think is a very good combination, the vacation and the island. So can you tell me how much, in this situation, how much May envies Sujin and how much Sujin envies May? So how much may envy, how much do you envy Sujin?
-3.
Right. So you envy him 9 plus 8, which is what he has, minus what you have, which is 20. So it's 8 plus 9 minus 10 plus 1 plus 9, which is minus 3. So you still do not envy him. How about Sujin? How much do you envy May? So he looks at, Sujin looks at what May got, which is equal 9 plus 3 plus 7 minus what he got, which is 10 plus 3. So the 3 cancel out and it's 16 minus 10, so it's 6. So you actually envy her right now. Right? So that's the situation. So our goal is to minimize the envy, to make sure that all of the envies are at most the value of one item. So can you tell me how can you do it in general? Or let's start with two players. Suppose I have a bunch of items. I want to partition them between two players such that no player envies no other player more than the value of a single item. Okay, so the way we're going to do it is going to be very simple. We are going to have two players. So, and we're going to have Sujin and May, do you mind continue playing with me? I'm going to invent items and I'm going to ask them how much are they worth to you. And the class is going to decide which item to give which. Okay? So we're going to start with a new partition and I'm not going to be very creative. Actually, I know some stuff about some of you, so let me be a little bit creative. A cigarette. How much do you like a cigarette from 1 to 10?
9.
How much? 0. Okay, so this is what I expected, right? So we are going to get, Sujin is going to get 9, and May is going to get 0, and I'm asking the class there's going to be the cigarette, and we are going to have a notation. May, do you prefer to be surrounded by a square or by a rectangle or by a... So one of you is going, you're going to be a circle and you're going to be a square? Okay, so you started with, so how should we partition, who should we give the cigarette to? Okay, that's kind of obvious. Okay, so we're going to give it to Sujin. So that's a very good partition. Nobody's envious. Nobody. We're very happy. May, let me ask you for something that you like, something different that you like, that he may not like. So it will make our life interesting.
Dress.
Dress, okay? So there's going to be a dress. How much do you like a dress? 1 to 10?
10.
10, obviously. And you?
3.
3, okay. So now we have to decide what to do. Now we have to decide what to do. So who should we give the dress to? We should give it to May. So let's see. And now we can already start to see who is envying you. Who is envying who? So at this situation, who is envying who? Let's add another column and say who envies who. So who envies who at this situation? Nobody? So Sujin has something that's worth 9 to him, and May has something that's worth 3 to him, so there's no envy, and the other direction there's also no envy, so you're both happy. Make our life, my life interesting. So your goal is to make it, I mean, you have to come up with an item that you think is going to be very different, so it's going to make my life interesting. So choose an item.
Beer.
Okay. How much you like beer?
8.
3. Okay, what should we do now? Any suggestions? Who should we give the beer to? So there are two options, right? Either we give it to Sujin, and then it's okay for somebody to envy somebody else as long as they don't envy them too much. So let's see what happens when you give it to Sujin. So Sujin is very happy, right? He has 17 versus 3, so he's very happy. How about May? Well, May has 10 versus 3, so she's still happy, right? Okay, can you make her less happy? Let's choose another item. I want it to become interesting. Some other item?
Phone.
Okay. You want a phone? How much do you like it? A lot?
6.
How much do you like a phone?
8.
Okay, so what will happen now? Can we keep everybody envy free? So far nobody envies nobody. What should we do? Who should get the phone? Okay, good. Okay. So you have 18 versus 3. He has 17 versus 9. So can we continue like this forever, or are we ever going to have a problem? Just giving people items that in a way that there's no envy whatsoever. Say again? So you're saying, suppose Sujin likes, in general, he likes everything more than May. Okay? So let's try this for a little bit. So Sujin, you're really going to like stuff for a bit. So it's going to be 10 to 1. What are we going to do now? So we're going to give it to Sujin. Then let's do it many times. What will happen eventually? So May envy eventually is going to be positive if we're just going each. So the protocol that we were applying here is the protocol where each time we gave the item to the person who likes it the most. So suppose we did this 100 times. Okay, so May would get 100 little ones, and Sujin would be very happy. He would completely not envy her, but May would say, well, you know, he gets all of these 100 items, and my value is just 18. It's not fair. Okay, so what can we do to avoid it? What can we do to avoid the situation where, you know, there's a lot of envy between them? Second, so one thing that you can do, right, very good, one thing that you can do is at the point where May starts to envy Sujin, you can just give items to Mei. Say, Mei, you envy Sujin, you should get items. Okay? And then, okay, so then Mei starts getting items, but then it could be that Sujin starts to envy Mei. And then what you can say, okay, Sujin, now you get the items. So what can be the problem with this protocol? So we're saying, if there's no envy, so this is the protocol that we're suggesting. If there's no envy, we just give the items to the person who likes it more. That's very easy. What happens when there's envy? If one person envies the other person, the person who is envying should get the next item because we don't want them to envy. So that sounds good too. What can be the problem with this protocol? The only problem with the protocol can be, it could be, we can consider a situation where Sujin is envying Mei and Mei is envying Sujin. Okay, maybe we went like this, we continued. Sujin is envying Mei, Mei is envying Sujin. What should we do in this case? What should we do in the case where Sujin is envying Mei and Mei is envying Sujin? They just trade everything that they have. But if Mei likes what Sujin has much better than what she has, and Sujin likes much better what he has than what Mei has, then they're just going to say, let's switch everything, and then both of them are going to be happy. And this is the algorithm. This is the algorithm that works in the general situation. So this is what you do. So you draw a graph. So here's this is for some short. So this is the general algorithm. So if there is a cycle of people, I go to J, go to K, blah, 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 go to I, all envying each other. Oh, let me write it this way. If I envy the J, J envies K, K envies L, and so on and so forth, until eventually maybe M envies I. So we have a bunch of people, we think about drawing them in a graph. So I envy J's. J's envy K's. K's envy L's. L's envies M. M envies N, and maybe N envies I. So we have a bunch of people all envying each other. So if this is the situation, what we're going to do is we are going to move. So I envies J, so we're just going to give whatever J had to I. So give CJ to I. Then give CK to J. Then give CL to K, and so on and so forth. So this person envies this person. We said, okay, great, you envy that person? We'll give you what this person had. This person envies that person, we're going to say, oh, you envy him? We'll give him what you had. This person envies that person, you're going to give him that person had, and so on and so forth. So if there's a cycle of people envying each other, you're going to give, to each of them give what they want. If there's no cycle, if there is no cycle in the graph, of envy, what we're going to do is we are going to give the item to a person nobody envies. And this is all of the algorithm. So there are two situations. Either there's somebody nobody envies, and you say, oh, nobody envies that person, let's give him the item. Or if for every person there's somebody that envies them, then it must be the case that there is a cycle of envy like this in the graph. And you look at the cycle of envy, and you say, everybody will be better if we give them what the next person in the cycle has. Okay, so let me try to do a more interesting example maybe in the last. So you guys were just too friendly to each other. So the example wasn't very interesting. So let me try to do a more interesting example in the last 5 minutes. So there's going to be three players, 1, 2, 3, and here we are going to have the items A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. Okay, so let me see if I can come up with an interesting example on the spot. So let's start with 3, 3, 3. Which player should get item number A? So not one is going to get, so here's the table of what they got. 1, 2, 3. So one got A. Who envies player number one? So let's draw the little graphs. There's one here, and 2 and 3 envy one. Now let's make Zero, 4, 4. So who should we give item B? So we should give item B to somebody nobody envies. So which people nobody envies? 2 and 3, right? So here we're going to give maybe item B, we're going to give to player number 2. And now who envies who? So we have to delete this graph completely. So who envies who? Does anybody envy 1? 3 envy 1. Does anybody envy 2? 1 envies 2, and 3 also envies 2. Okay? Is there anybody in this graph that nobody envies? All right, why doesn't envy 2? Okay, good. So, yeah, let's write the values too. So what are the values that we have so far? For 1, we have the value 3. For 3, we have the value 4. And for 2, we have the value 0. Right, good. Now, let's make it interesting. So how can we make it interesting? We want 2 to get something that people like. So 2 will get something that's equal to 4 to this. And just a second. So 3 envies. So 2 is 4. 2 is 4 and 3 is equal to 0. Good. So we want to give something to 3. We want to give something to 3 that other people will like. So let's make it 1. No, let's make it. Let's make it 1, 4, 4. Okay, so the item number C is equal 4 to player number 1, 4 to player number 2, and 1 to player number 3. So who should get the item? No. What's the rule? Who's getting the item? 3. The person who's getting the item is the person that nobody envies. The poor person that nobody envies is playing number 3. What's the value? Let's make it even 5. Sorry. What's the value of player number 3 right now? So he got elements number, he got element C. So what's the value of player number 3 according to, okay, so let's look at, so that's the situation that we have right now, and let's see what everybody thinks about it. So this is player number 1, this is player number 2, this is player number 3. Is player 1 envying player number 2? That's not good. I wanted them to envy number 2, okay? Is player number 2 envying player number 1? Okay, so there's no envy between them. Is playing number 1 envying playing number 3? Okay, so there's an envy here. Is playing number 2 envying playing number 3? Yes. And that's it. Say again. And player number 3 envy both. Very good. Player number 3 envy player number 1. And player number 3 envy player number 2. Right, this is why I did this. Very good, thank you. Right, so in this situation, we have player number 1 envying player number 3, player number 3 envying player number 1, player number 3 envying player number 2, and player number 2 envying player number 3. What does the algorithm tell us that we have to do in this case? Switch. So what do we have to switch? Which players? Either 1 and 3 or 2 and 3, right? So let's switch. Let's switch between 2 and 3. So we're going to get A, C, B. So what does the new graph that we look like? So let's erase everything. So who is envying who right now? So is anybody envying player A? Player number 1? So player number 1 just has item A, which is equal to 3. And the two other players have, so let's see, player number 1 versus player number 2. 2 got C. So player number 1 envies player number 2. Is player number 2 envying player number 1? No, good. Is player number 2 envying player number 3? Good. Playing number 3 envying player number 1? Okay. Are there any other envies here? Okay. So what does that mean? It means that now if I have an item that's worth 2, 2, 2, who should get it? Either 1 or 2. Either 1 or 3. One of the people who are not being envy should get the item. And then we can continue like that over and over again. So is the algorithm clear? Okay. And the way okay, so what are the properties that we're using? I'll just say it in 1 minute because we're running out of time. We're using one property that if you don't have a cycle in the graph, then there has to be a person that's not being envied by anybody. So that's one property that we're using. And the other property that we're using is that if we do this algorithm over and over again, then the maximum envy is not going to be more than one item. And the reason is that when we give a new item, we give it to a person that nobody envies. Since nobody envies, the amount that this person is going to be envied after we give it the item is at most the value of that item. Okay, so that's the logic behind the algorithm. Okay, and on Wednesday we'll talk about some other stuff. Thank you, Sujin and May. Very helpful.